Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken from the King James Version of the Bible this evening. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am so excited. We are going to complete the instruction tonight in the book of Luke, and next week we'll be headed to the book of Isaiah. So as you know, that our lesson tonight is, again, the study. We will synopsize the life of Jesus Christ according to Luke the physician. It will also present his allegory of the Son of God and give to us an account-by-account description of the events concerning Jesus' beginnings to his end of life as we know it. And we will also look at the characteristics of Christianity as presented in this book written by Luke. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, another reminder is every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, if you will, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Now, before we get started, I want to, as I always do, personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using. So thank you, my precious brothers and sisters, for that. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question is for this hour, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. That's taken from Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. Now, the promise, if you want to be perfect, knowing that we can't be perfect this side of eternity, but we can perfect ourselves, we must follow Jesus. Jesus said, come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men. Mark chapter 1, verse 17. And again, the promise is that you will be made fishers of men if you come and follow Jesus. Jesus said, take heed how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath seemed to have. That's from Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Now, the promise is that you will have what you need if you follow Jesus. And if you hear this word and you activate it, it will come to fruition. Now, again, the promise of this hour is, are you following the promises of God? Before we get started, I want you all to know that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. Now, let's get to the study. We're on the 75th instruction out of 84 for the series. Tonight, I believe we will complete that. And we're going to go to Luke chapter 22, verse 31 through 32. Luke chapter 22, verse 31, and we're going to be reading or completing the reading to verse 31 and 32. Now, what I want you to focus on in the reading before I read the text is that faith will keep you out of Satan's hands. Faith will keep you out of Satan's hands. Now, we understand that faith is twofold, meaning that you have to believe, and then you have to do what you believe. And that is what is concentrated in this instruction as we read the text. The text says, and Jesus the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So Jesus is telling Simon Peter that his belief is good, but he still has to be converted. And that's a physical action before he can complete the strength that he needs to overcome Satan. Now what we want to do is go to our Old Testament complement. We want to go to Psalms, verse 31. And we're going to be reading Psalms, verse 37. And we're going to be reading verse 1 and 3. And this is going to give us an understanding of what Jesus just said. This is how David told Israel to respond to what faith will do for you. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. So we're told to begin with to not be afraid or ashamed of wrongdoing. And this is what verse 3 says. Trust in the Lord. Trust is faith. And do good. So you have to believe and do in order to receive this attribute. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So this is what I'm trying to share with you spiritually and what the meaning is. When we talk about this, it is that if you believe God, then you will do what God tells you to do, and that will keep Satan at bay. And we have, of course, an example of that when Jesus was in the desert. We remember how Satan was baiting Jesus, and Jesus would not respond to doing what Satan said, and countered by telling Satan that he will do what God says. Now let's go to instruction number 76. We're going to go back to Luke, and if we are not completed by the time that I give you this information, we'll go into our break. That's instruction number 76. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 22, verse 35 through 37. Luke chapter 22, verse 35 through 37. That's going to be the text. And we're going to be looking at this instruction as we read the text. The warning Christ gives us. That's what I want you to concentrate on as we read the text. The warning Christ gives us. And if the break comes before we complete this, then we'll continue after the break. But as the break has not started yet, we will go and start reading Luke chapter 22, verse 35 through 37. And this is what the text says. And Jesus said unto them, when I sent you without purses and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? And they all said nothing. Then Jesus said unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. And for I say unto you, that this is written, must be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. That's the warning that Christ gives us today, that he is going, and we'll continue after the break.
I'm a country boy. I'm from West Virginia. I don't know nothing about this big time stuff. I never even asked to be big. I wanted to be effective, not famous. Famous is the consequences of being effective. I didn't know nothing about being famous, and I didn't like it. And so there I was. And when you first knew, everybody attacks you first and figures you out later. And the first time I was in the Washington Post, the article was so vicious it made me nauseous. I was so shocked that you could say that stuff about somebody you didn't even know based on assumptions and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. They piece it all together and you don't get the same thing back. So I decided I don't want this. I was preaching for the pastor, Bishop Donnie Mears, and nobody knew it because preachers can override their feelings and function. I preached the place was on fire, but inside I wanted to quit. I told God, I'm through with this. I'm not going through this. I don't need this. I don't need that. I'm a guy who likes to go get his own chicken wings. I don't have to have all of that stuff to be happy. So I said, I'm not doing this no more. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this because I don't need this and I didn't ask for this. I'm only doing this because of what happened in my life, of the circumstances that happened in my life. He put me on stage. I didn't ask for it. And when I saw how much it cost, I thought, you can have that right back here. You can have that right back up in here. I don't need it. So I was mad inside, and I was hurt. And I stayed up in the fellowship with the pastors because I didn't want to go back to my room and sulk in my own sorrows. And they said, there's a lady downstairs waiting to see you. The service was over and the fellowship was over. And the pastor's starting to leave. I was trying to outwait her. I thought she'd give up and leave. And when I finally came down the steps, she was there. And she was just a willowy bit of a woman. And she said, Bishop Jakes, she said, I've been in the hospital. She said, I was pregnant in my fallopian tubes, and the baby died in my tubes, and I was carrying around a dead baby, and the toxicity from the baby almost killed me. And she said, the only thing that kept me alive was hearing you preach. She said, if you hadn't have been preaching to me every day, I swear I would have died. And then she looked at me and she said, it's for us. It's not for them. It's for us. It hit me so hard. I didn't even get her name. I got in the car and cried all the way back to my room because she reminded me why I was there. Last week when I text you, I was up in Baltimore in D.C. and I was doing a book signing and this woman came up to the table to buy sword. She said, you don't remember me, do you? I said, no. She didn't even look like the same person. She's all dressed up and gained weight. She felt like she wasn't sick. Wow. She said, I met you in the bottom of Donnie Mears' church years ago, and I burst into tears. I lost it. I stopped the signing, and I jumped up and hugged her. If it were not for that woman,
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we will continue. We're on instruction number 76, and the instruction is the warning Christ gives us. And we read Luke chapter 22, verse 35 through 37, and it told us Christ's warning that while he was among the apostles, that they were okay and safe. But once he left them, or once he would leave them, then they needed to have things for themselves to protect themselves. That was the warning. And now we're going to go to the Old Testament complement. We're going to look at Psalms verse 23, verse 4, and we're going to see how David also gives us a warning. But he actually was giving the warning to the Israelites. This is what Psalms 23, verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." So we're told that even though Israel was being told, even though that they were amongst people that did not believe as they did, because of God and their belief in God, they would be protected. And this is what this should mean spiritually in our lives, that if we watch and pray, as Jesus said to do in Matthew chapter 24, remember Jesus says, watch and pray that you may be found worthy to escape those things that must shortly come to pass. The warning is watching and praying. And listen to this also, my precious brothers and sisters. And if we keep on the whole armor of God, as Paul taught in Ephesians chapter 6, remember Paul said, you put on the belt of faith, and you put on the breastplate of righteousness. You gird your feet with the beginning of the gospel of peace. You fit your head with the helmet of salvation, and you protect yourself with the shield of faith and with the sword of the Holy Spirit. Then we will be secure in Jesus Christ. That's what I want you to realize. That's the warning that we give, that we are receiving, and the instruction is how basic instructions before leaving earth tells us how to prepare ourselves for the onslaught that will come because of our living this side of eternity. Now we're going to go to instruction number 77, and we're going to go back to Luke chapter 22, verse 39 through 46. Luke chapter 22, verse 39 through 46. And this is the instruction that I want you to take from the reading of the text. Jesus gives us an example on how to pray in agony. Jesus gives us an example on how to pray in agony. And this is what Luke chapter 22, verse 39 through 46 says. And he came out and went as he wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And he was at the place, he said unto them, pray thee that thou enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou shalt be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he arose up from prayer and come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. So the example that Jesus is giving to his apostles is that they should be praying. Now what we're going to do is go to our Old Testament complement. We're going to go to Samuel, 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel, and we're going to read verse 1, and we're going to read chapter 1, verse 8 through 10. And we're going to see how this connects the dot to what Jesus did in the garden at Gethsemane. This is 1 Samuel, And we're going to be reading first verse 8 through 10. And this is what it says. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And now let's go to verse 12. It says, and it came to pass, as she, Hannah, continued praying before the Lord, that Eli the priest marked her mouth. Verse 14 says, and Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. And we know that Hannah agonized in prayer because she wanted a son, and she wanted to please the Lord. Now, what this should mean to us spiritually in our lives is that we must go to God for everything, seeking, knocking, and asking. That is the formula for success with God, says Jesus. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. Ask, and ye shall receive. But remember, we got to ask correctly. Now, that's what I want you to get from this particular instruction. Now, we're going to go to instruction 78, and we're going to go back to Luke chapter 22, verse 33 and 34. Luke chapter 22, verse 33 and 34. And also, we're going to use verses 54 through 62. And what we want to do as we read the text is focus on this instruction. Beware that your faith is strong. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? We want to beware that our faith is strong. And I'm thinking that we're going to head for a break. So as we start this, listen to me. And then when we go into the break, afterwards I'll complete it. But this is, after the break, we will complete that.
Time is short. My king is coming soon. Because eternity matters, I will give him my all today. No regrets, no excuses, holding nothing back. With his help and by his power, I will leave no words unsaid, no deeds undone, no hope unshared. My faith moves mountains. My prayers calm storms. My words give life. My hands bring healing. My feet deliver the good news that Christ is risen and is coming again. God's word is a lamp directing my steps. His spirit is my power. When I'm weak, he makes me strong. Because Christ is coming, I will not back down, sell out, or be pushed around. My life is too valuable. My calling too great. My God too good to waste my life on things that don't last. I am empowered by God's Spirit, trained by His Word, tried by fire. My name is written in His book. My life belongs to Him. Because my life is not my own and earth is not my home, I will live for the glory of God and not for the applause of men. I am strong in the Lord and in His mighty power to do His will on earth as it is in heaven. Because Christ lives in me, trials will not stop me. People cannot break me. Money cannot buy me. Haters cannot silence me. Demons cannot defeat me.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, this is the instruction. Beware that your faith is strong. And this is what the text says, Luke chapter 22, verse 33 and 34. It says, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou hast denied me three times. And verse 54 through 62 completes this understanding when it says, then they took him and led him and brought him to the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man is also with him. And he, Peter, denied it, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also one of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed another, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with them, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, when he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked unto Peter. And Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he had said unto him, behold, the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. So beware of the faith that you in you is strong. And this was an indication to show you how you can fall short of that. Now, what we're going to do is go to the Old Testament complement, and we're going to see what the book of Numbers has to say in connecting this dot. We're going to go to the book of Numbers. We're going to go to chapter 13. We're going to read verse 30 and 31 of chapter 13, verse 30 and 31. And listen, my brothers and sisters, this is another show of faithlessness instead of faithfulness. This is what Numbers chapter 13, verse 30 and 31 says. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that were with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Now remember, this is when Moses sent the 12 spies into the land of milk and honey to survey it, to see how they would overcome and take that from those people that were living in the land of Canaan at the time. We're going to go now to Numbers chapter 14, and we're going to read verse 40 through 42 and get the conclusion of this. And this is what happened. This is where faithfulness and faithlessness shows itself. And they rose up early in the morning. That meant the people of Israel. And they gathered themselves up at the top of the mountain. And lo, we will be here, and we will go up to the place which the Lord had promised, for we have sinned. Now remember, they had sinned because they said that they could not take the place. And the Lord God told them that they could through Moses. And this is what Moses says in verse 41. And Moses said, wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that you be not smitten before your enemies. And verse 45 says, then Amalek came down, and the Canaanites, which dwell in that hill, and smote them and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. And see, what had happened is because of disobedience, because of the lack of faith, Israel paid the consequences, and they lost the battle. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. Remember what the Spirit said to the church at Smyrna. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. The faith that is spiritual is eternal, but the faith that is physical is mortal. And that's the lesson I'm trying to share with you, that we must have the faith unto death to pursue God and keep his commandments, or we shall fail. Now let's go to instruction number 79. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 22, Luke chapter 22, verse 66 through 71. Luke chapter 22, verse 66 through 71. And this is the instruction that we want to take from the text we're going to read from Luke. We must be ready for boldness. That is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as we read the text. We must be ready for boldness. Now, this is what Luke chapter 22, verse 66 through 71 says. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, Art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, If I tell you, ye will not believe. And if I also ask you, ye will not answer me, nor let me go. Henceforth hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. And this is what Jesus was saying. Verse 70 says, Then said they all, Art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, Yea, ye say that I am. And they said, What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his out of his own mouth. And this is what happened. Jesus stayed bold because of God's commandment. Now, what we're going to do is go to our Old Testament complement, and we're going to see a connection on this Esther chapter 4, verse 16. Esther chapter 4, verse 16, and this is the complement, what it says. Go together, all of the Jews that are present in Shechem, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go up unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. That was the boldness of Esther, and that is the connection between Esther and what we just read in Luke. Now, what I want you to spiritually understand from this instruction is that we must take advantage of every opportunity to labor with love in the Lord's vineyard, planting and watering, by preaching and teaching, witnessing and testifying, admonishing and edifying as many as we meet in Greece. That is the commission that we receive from Jesus Christ to commit ourselves to if we're going to be his followers. And that's the boldness that we must display in that area. Now we're going to go to instruction number 80, and we're going to go back to Luke chapter 23, and we're going to read verse 1, 2, 4, and 5, and this is what we're going to draw from the reading of the text. This is the instruction. The truth is subjected to the evil in this world. That truth is subjected to the evil in this world. And that's Luke chapter 23, verse 1, 2, and we're going to read verse 4 and 5, and then we're going to also read verse 13 through 15. And would you please mark your New Old Testament complements to Psalms 109, verse 2 through 5. And that is what we're going to get into after the break.
Realities is the fact that there are always people around us who are fault finders. Those who seldom see the great or the good, but are quick to point out the negative. During his presidency, Abraham Lincoln was a man greatly respected, greatly reviled also. Blamed for plunging the nation into war, he was the president people loved to hate. Those who opposed his views regarding the war and slavery, as well as his efforts to keep the nation united, were vocal and uninhibited in denouncing him. In fact, one day during the darkest days in the Civil War and of his presidency, it was said that Lincoln was walking down a street near the Capitol in Washington when an acquaintance caught up with him. As they walked, the man brought up the subject of the growing anti-Lincoln sentiments flowing in Washington, as well as throughout the country. And with brutal honesty, the man related to Lincoln many of these stories outlining attacks on Lincoln and his policies. As the man spoke, Lincoln remained completely silent, absorbed in his own thoughts. Well, finally, the exasperated man asked, "Mr. Lincoln, haven't you heard me? Are you listening to me?" Well, Lincoln stopped, looked directly at him, and said, "Yes, I've heard you. But let me tell you a story. You know that during the time of the full moon, it's the habit of all the dogs to come out at night and bark and bark and bark at the moon. And this keeps on as long as the moon is clearly visible in the sky." At that point, Mr. Lincoln stopped speaking and continued his walk. Well, confused by Lincoln's response, his exasperated companion persisted, "Mr. Lincoln, you haven't finished your story. Tell me the rest of it." Well, once again, Lincoln stopped walking and said, "There's nothing more to tell. The moon keeps right on shining, no matter how many dogs are barking or how loudly." So once again, Lincoln was a great role model for managing criticism. And he certainly was aware of his shortcomings. He knew that many highly respected, influential people disagreed with him. In fact, one of the highest members of his cabinet said to a friend of his one time, "Abraham Lincoln is a fool." Well, somebody told Lincoln about that, and the president stopped and thought for a moment again, and he said, "Well, he must be right, because I respected that man and still do. He's a great statesman. I must be a fool." How many?
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, we're on instruction number 80, and the instruction is the truth is subjected to evil in this world. And we just heard an example of that in the commercial. Now what we're going to do is look at Luke chapter 23, verse 1 and 2, 4 and 5, and see what it says about the truth being subjected to evil in this world. It says, "And the whole multitude of them arose and led him," meaning Jesus, "unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, 'We found this fellow perverting the nation, forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king.'" And then verse 4 and 5 says, "Then Pilate said to the chief priests and to the people, 'I find no fault in this man.' And they were the more fierce, saying, 'He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all of Judea, beginning with from Galilee to this place.'" Now we're going to go to verse 13 through 15 to complete the thought. "And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, 'Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverted the people. And I, behold, I have examined him before you and have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof you accused him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent him to him, or I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worth of death is done unto him.'" Now, the truth being subjected to the evil, the people still wanted the head of Jesus. Now, this is what the Old Testament compliment says about that. We're going to go to Psalms, and we're going to go to Psalms 109, verse 2 through 5, and this is what the psalmist says. Psalms 109, verse 2 through 5, and this is what it says. "For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compass me about also with words of hatred, and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries. But I gave myself unto prayer, and they have rewarded me with evil for good, and hated my love." So you can see what David is saying to the Israelites And of course, he's talking about himself as confronted with the enemy of his of the people. And you can see that also happened to Jesus. Now, what I want you to understand spiritually, this is the meaning that it should you should take from that. That the knowledge of good and evil, that curse prevails to this day, and we are subjected to it throughout our whole lives. But Jesus gave us repentance, and through repentance we have a reprieve. Now that is what I'm sharing with you, my brothers and sisters, that our truth, we have the knowledge of good and evil that is actually going against the truth that is within us, and we will struggle with that for the rest of our lives. But thanks to God, Jesus came, and he has given us not only faithfulness, but he has given us repentance to get through that. Now let's go to instruction number 81. We're going back to Luke chapter 23, verse 28 through 31. Luke chapter 23, verse 28 through 31. And this is the text that I want you to pay attention to, or the instruction, while we read the text. A significant warning. A significant warning is what I want you to pay attention to as we read the text. Luke chapter 23, verse 28 through 31. But Jesus turning unto them, saying, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. And we know what he meant, that knowledge of good and evil is going to cause us troubles from day one. Remember what Job said in chapter 14, verse 1 of his writing, that man is of a few days and full of troubles. Verse 29 says, For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the womb that never bare, and the paths which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say unto the mountains, Fall on us, and hide us, cover us. For if they do these things in the green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And we can see what is going on in the world today, more especially in our own communities, that this warning is significant, that the knowledge of good and evil is rampant and it's beginning to turn us upside down in our communities. Now let's go to the Old Testament and see what the Confident has to say about this. We're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 3, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 through 21, and see what this says in complement to what we just read. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 through 21, and it says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou shalt give him not a warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked ways to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked ways, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou shalt deliver thy soul. Remember our great commission. Go ye therefore into the world, preaching and teaching and the like. This is the significant warning that we will give, admonishing and edifying the church. And this is what verse 20 says. Again, when a righteous man does turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he had done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned, and thou shalt deliver thy soul. So this is the connection. This is what Ezekiel was told, to be a watchman. And we as priests of Christ must also share one with another, as many as we meet and greet, laboring with love in the Lord's vineyard. Now this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that followers of Jesus must keep the covenant of the Great Commission. Go ye therefore into all the nations, preaching and teaching and baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters. If we are a follower of Christ, we are responsible to ensure that we adhere to that instruction. Now we're going to go to instruction number 82, and we're going to read Luke chapter 24, verse 1 through 10. Luke chapter 24, verse 1 through 10 is the text we're going to be reading from, and this is the instruction that we're going to draw from the reading. Women were the first to witness the resurrection. Now, this is significant because women were the first ones there to witness the instruction. And turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, verse 1 through 10, and after the break, we will continue.
The mind is the battleground. It is the place where the greatest conflict is. There are more people in this room having trouble in their mind than there are people having trouble in their finances. The struggle is in your mind. This is why we have people who go to bed tired and wake up tired. Slept 8 hours and you wake up still tired. The reason you wake up tired is that you got sleep but you didn't get rest. Your mind has been in turmoil all night long. You've been wrestling in your sleep. Have you ever woke up and your bed was wet? The bed is all tore up just like you've been in a fight because your mind has not rested. Your body went to sleep, but your mind is still caught up in a warfare. Your mind is the battleground. Pet somebody and tell them the enemy's after your mind. Out to worry you to death, out to stress you to death, out to break you down, out to make you quit, out to make you think that you can't get up, out to make you give up on your dream. The warfare is in your mind. It's not in your checkbook. It's not in your savings account. It's not on your job. The fight that you got to fight is in your mind. And if you whip it in your head, you can whip it in your checkbook. You can whip it on your job. You can whip it out of your children. But you got to try. Get out of your head.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers, let's look at what the instruction says. Women were the first to witness the resurrection. And this is what Luke chapter 24, verse 1 through 10 says. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Now, the first day of the week is the day that we worship Christ, and this is one of the reasons why that was set in motion in the old days, that the first day of the week was significant. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And when it came to pass, as they were much perplexed about it, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake to you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11. And to all of the rest. Now remember, there were 11 apostles then because Judas Iscariot had died. And verse 10 says, It was Mary Magdalene, and it was Joanna, and it was Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. So we can see that from this reading that the women were the first ones to observe the resurrection. And of course, Mary, the mother of James, that was Jesus' mother. We'll learn about more about that in a later study. Now let's go to the Old Testament complement and let's see what Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 has to say about that, or connecting the dot. It says, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, okay? Just like the sign that was given to the women. when the angel said, why are you looking in there that he has risen? This is what the verse continues to say. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, the connection there, and I will add a little speculation, that women are at the birth of humanity, and women are also seeing the birth of Jesus. He is considered the first of the resurrection from the dead, and they were first in both. Now, this is what this instruction should mean to us spiritually, that women are critical in God's makeup of humanity, for sure, and are just as vital to spirituality because of the image and likeness of God. The key here is that they are made in the image and likeness of God, as all mankind are made in the image and likeness of God. So why would not women be first instead of men? That's what I'm trying to give you as an instruction to follow, that women are made in the same image and likeness as men are. So we should be equal in that right. Now let's go to instruction number 83. The text, we're going to go back to Luke chapter 24, and we're going to be reading verse 13 through 35. Luke chapter 24, verse 13 through 35. And the reason that this is going to be rather lengthy is because we're at the end of the series of study. And this is the instruction that I want you to glean from reading of the text. It's going to be the Emmaus experience. I know some of you out there have heard of the Emmaus walk. This is where that has been developed from. It is Luke chapter 24, verse 13 through 35. And this is what it says. And behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden. They should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have to one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and other rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. So now we know that this walk, and we'll conclude with verse 35, and it says, and they told these things that were done in the way, and how Jesus was known to them in breaking of bread. So what they had done is gone back to the apostles and told them of this experience that they had. Now what we're going to do is go to Psalms 2 and see how this dot is connected. Psalms verse 22. This is where we're going to go, to Psalms verse 22, and this is what verse 1 and 7 says. Psalms verse 22, and this is what verse 2 says. Oh, my God, or verse 1 says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Verse 7 and 8 says, and they that, again, this is David, and he's under inspiration of the Spirit, and he is speaking of what happened to Jesus. Verse 7 says, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. And verse 14 through 18 concludes and says, and I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaw. And those and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For the dogs have compassed me about. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They parted my garments among them and cast lot upon my vestures. So this is the experience that David is having in his inspiration about what happened to Jesus on the cross. And that is the connection of the Emmaus experience. I'm talking about an experience that was identified in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that the experience of every Christian should be to be born again and to receive the indwelling. That is the critical experience. The Emmaus walk was a critical experience to those who were actually walking at that time. And then what David experienced in his inspiration was critical also of what happened to Jesus on the cross. And I think that it should be critical to us today that we have the indwelling. That means the Christian should be not only born again, but have the indwelling. That is what I'm trying to say in this instruction to you. Now let's go to the last instruction for the series. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 24, verse 44 through 49. And this is what the instruction says. The commission after the resurrection. This is what we're going to hear. Luke chapter 24, verse 44 through 49. And this is what it says. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the laws of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then open he their eyes and understanding, that they may understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are the witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high. So that is the commission that Jesus gave us. He gave it specifically to the apostles after his death. But this is the one that we are still under to perform the time that we are this side of eternity. Now we're going to go to the Old Testament and see if we can find a connection, which is in Exodus chapter 3, verse 10 through 14. Exodus chapter 3, verse 10 through 14, this is what it says. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly, I will be with thee, and that this shall be a token unto thee, that I send thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve the Lord God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I came unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall ask me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent you unto me. And that is the commission that God gave to Moses, to the children of Israel. And the commission that Jesus gave to us was in Luke chapter 24, verse 44 through 49. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we are fishers of men for Jesus Christ, and we are dressers of the garden of mankind for God. That's what I want you to get from that reading, my brothers and sisters. And now that we're complete with this lesson this evening, and as we're about to sign off, the host and I would like to thank you.
For joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E.
Now, as we say goodnight to all of our listeners out there, remember what Jesus said. He that hath an ear, let him hear. God bless and good night.